All right, here we are, episode 3 of the Thoughtful Discuss podcast. Wow, there is just so much going on right now. Absolute whirlwind of a week in politics today. The gears are absolutely turning. There's an old saying among history enthusiasts that is something like, there are decades where nothing happens and there are weeks where decades happen. That's an old, I think it's a Lenin quote, but I think in the last 2 weeks, about 200 years has unfolded. No, but seriously, if 200 years had unfolded and literally everything changed, I don't think we'd fire any of the people or change any of the policies that are pursued and endorsed by our most serious institutions. What the hell is going on here? There is literally no accountability anywhere, and we're going to take a look at all of this, but from whether we're talking about the corporate media rooms that are spreading stories all over the country and getting into your news feed every day, or the institutions that are meant to protect our leaders who craft our laws and keep our country safe and negotiate on our behalf. What is going on? Let's talk about it. There's so much here. I can barely get to really Trump and the RNC today. I just want to talk about two things that are clearly very important right now. One is the failure of the Secret Service that looks like singularly one of the biggest buffoon incidents of all time in that institution. It's not comparable to the JFK thing. Remember, in the JFK thing, you know, that was a big open city that he was riding down a long road on. That was it, they should have been able to get to that place where the assassin, Lee Harvey Oswald, laid in wait. They should have been able to get there, but that was a way more complicated question than basically this small enclosed space where a shooter got within, you know, a couple hundred feet of Trump. And the failures here are truly massive. And the other thing to talk about is Joe Biden has tested positive for COVID. And the actual aftermath of this Trump assassination attempt, it's all kind of melding together in the news cycle. And corporate media is not quite sure which stories to press out the most. I'm going to start first with the Secret Service because there's a lot of mystery going on here, and then we'll get around to the rest. God, it really seems like nothing is a fireable offense at this point. Bottom line here is that the director of the Secret Service is not resigning her post, which is absolutely insane after her failures, and these explanations she's offering are just awful. There's an ABC exclusive out now with her. The Trump rally shooting, she calls it unacceptable, and she says, "The buck stops with me," says Kimberly Cheadle. Okay, that's the woman who runs the Secret Service, Kimberly Cheadle. Now, in her first network interview since the assassination, she basically says that the thing is unacceptable, like I just said, and it's something that shouldn't happen again. Thank you, we know. We understand that. She says that local authorities were tasked with securing the building where the alleged shooter fired the shots. So she's blaming local PD there, which seems like it's a ridiculous thing to do given the fact that the whole reason the Secret Service exists is so that they can protect the president, not local PD. Reading from her quotes and not trying to steal the audio clip, this is what she says. Quote, "In this particular instance, we did share support for that particular site and that the Secret Service was responsible for the inner perimeter. And then we sought assistance from our local counterparts for the outer perimeter. There was local police in that building. There was local police in that area that were responsible for the outer perimeter of the building." That's what she says. So she's passing the buck here. She's saying, the buck stops with me, but actually the buck goes somewhere else. I'm starting to think there's absolutely no buck at all, and all of you are just full of it. She goes on, she says that the American people should have confidence in the Secret Service and that in the aftermath of the assassination attempt, she immediately started looking at the protective details of those under Secret Service protection because they're curious about what's going on with other people's Secret Service details. But get this, there was a heightened posture for this Secret Service unit. There had been credible threats against Trump from Iran that seemed like they might spin out into his campaign events. And this still happened. And she says she's reached out to the Trump campaign to speak to him about the incident, but apparently Trump hasn't called her back, which is not surprising as not only did your incompetence almost cause his death, you're now not really taking responsibility and refusing to resign your post. Kimberly Cheadle has to be out, absolutely no doubt. Mitch McConnell says that she should be out too. Unfortunately, he's not a great messenger because he should be out as well. I don't know what it is about these old octogenarians groping in the dark, trying to hold on for power, but we need to be honest about this. It has to stop. It's worse than that, though. Her story might not even be true. Richard Goldinger, who is the district attorney in Butler County, Pennsylvania, where this all went down, said the Secret Service was informed that the local police department did not have the manpower to assist with securing that building. And there is a source inside the Secret Service that says the security lapses surrounding the attempted assassination are now the subject of multiple federal inquiries. And it's a sensitive, ongoing investigation. We can't even get to the who done it and why because we're so consumed with the how at this point. Now, John Bolton, you may remember him, went on CNN yesterday and tried to play defense on this whole thing around men and women in the Secret Service. He says that everyone in the Secret Service does their jobs, which does not at all answer the question, by the way. Can someone explain to me why I'm supposed to believe that a woman who looks like she wouldn't be tall enough to get on the Eagle go-around at the Shire is protecting Donald Trump? Please stop lying through the teeth about this. Why don't we select the right people for jobs like this? It's inexcusable. These institutions have to be held responsible for whatever policies they're putting in place that is having anything but G.I. Joe super soldiers with 110 plus IQs protecting our leaders. I know they're out there. All right, over to Joe Biden, who is already not having a good week before this happened. He is on the record yelling at a young congressman who questioned his game plan going forward. I guess this is either a reasonable excuse for everything that's been going on for him, or it is the last bit of jet fuel in the Biden presidency. But yes, Joe Biden has tested positive for COVID-19. It happened on Wednesday, just a little bit before I made this podcast, and it's going to disrupt a campaign event that was supposed to bring in a bunch of Latino voters at a very important part of the election. Understand something. Donald Trump has done increasingly well with Latino voters and even black voters. This is a very, very important thing for him. I think it was almost emblematic that this happened at that exact moment. It was not a convenient thing for him. He was given the drug Paxlovid, according to a doctor, and he said he feels good. He also sent out a tweet saying, "I'm sick," and then 20 minutes later kind of writing, "I'm sick of Donald Trump and all of the lies and blah, 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 blah." Now, Biden's fully vaccinated and boosted, and he flashed a thumbs up before Air Force One before going to Delaware, where he'll be in isolation, I guess. I have a feeling that this is not the end of the Biden campaign right here, but this is going to be a painful moment in it because today, earlier, Adam Schiff, who is probably less influential than Nancy Pelosi, certainly, but certainly someone with a big voice who's also running for a Senate seat now, called publicly for Biden to drop out of the race. But just like I said before in the previous podcast, no one is truly abandoning Biden. Most of these people are still going to vote for Biden, and Schiff made that clear as well. He would support whoever was at the top of the Democratic ticket. And that there, from an argument standpoint of Biden staying in the race, is his saving grace. He's basically thinking that everyone's still coming along for the ride either way. He is a scion of Nancy Pelosi. People forget this, but Adam Schiff has the recognizability he has because of Nancy Pelosi. Let's not forget, she appointed him to lead that first impeachment against Trump, that it was a huge high-stakes thing, and that helped Schiff rise to the point where he is today, where he has national prominence. He was mentioned in some questions about potentially running for president. Now, people who are close to Pelosi will say that Schiff's announcement came as news to her and that Schiff didn't consult her. I'm finding all of that hard to believe now. I'm finding it very hard to believe that all of these people are jumping ship without talking to each other. That being said, if there's another series of defections in the next couple of days, the pressure might ratchet up. There are some reports that Joe Biden is more open to the doorway for Kamala Harris, for letting her in. He has apparently been asking aides in the last couple of days whether or not they think she could win. No one really knows. No one really knows how she would fare in a contest with her specifically at the top of the ticket. Everyone here needs to get it together. The only people who look like they're in good form right now are the people at the RNC. And to be completely honest with you, I don't think that that makes for such a good future for the country. I think a situation in which you had a Republican White House, Congress, and Senate could be absolutely disastrous. We need to just have an honest conversation with ourselves about what it takes to get to some moderate positions in this country. Okay, we used to have moderate politics in this country. If you go and watch the UK election that just happened, and you go watch Rishi Sunak in the days after it became clear that he was going to lose, and the way he left, and the way he treated Keir Starmer, who became the new Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, it's night and day. Okay, we need to restore this back to politics. Now, does that mean that we have to tone things down? I'm not convinced of that either. I'm not convinced that it means necessarily turning down the rhetoric. It means being more honest. Okay, this isn't about we're not going to say X, Y, and Z. We're not going to say anything bad about Donald Trump or Joe Biden because it could get them killed. That's not what this is. Presidential assassinations are like black swan type events. Just like large meteors striking Earth are, you would not want to build all of your physics around whether or not a meteor is going to strike Earth. That would not give you a very accurate picture of what's out there in the universe. Rather, these are small data points on a larger timeline that go on for a very, very long time. But I'll say this for Democrats, you certainly can't stop fighting right now. Everything in corporate and legacy media is around stuff like the dichotomy between peace versus violence and chaos versus order. But that collapses down to one dimension really nicely with Tone It Down. But unfortunately, that one-dimensional kind of view is oversimplified and very, very naive. Okay, Trump supporters are agitated because of Fox News and because of Donald Trump and Marjorie Taylor Greene. I mean, speaking of people who've encouraged open violence, I mean, certainly stochastic violence with dog whistles and threats that range from barely veiled to completely direct and overt and incessant calls to arms in the name of what some people would say is white nationalism. I don't think that, but there's some kind of racial and religious purity that comes through, especially in her messages. A lot of times it's mindless rage, totally mindless rage, personal vendettas against Democrats, LGBTQ members, immigrants, black people, Hollywood, the media, scientists, and anyone who's perceived as disloyal. Progressives are angrier on the other side because they feel like they've been abandoned by Biden, though I'm not completely sure why. They feel like the Supreme Court is turning into a political institution that doesn't have them in mind. And frankly, a lot of the times, their outcries sound more like peaceful institutional change and a restoration of rights. It doesn't mean they always get it right, but we should at least acknowledge it for what it is. And this comes full circle with what I said before. I mean, if I'm going to use the phrase diversity, equity, inclusion to describe why there might be people in the Secret Service who don't exactly match the job description, understand something. DEI is not some tyrannical, horrible, evil idea. It has the right ideas in mind. It's just inefficient. It just doesn't work. We don't need to spend our time vilifying those people or treating it like it's an assault on something that we hold dear. We just need to acknowledge that it just doesn't work and try to find a different solution. Anyways, thank you guys so much for tuning in to this episode of the Thoughtful Discuss podcast. I'll see you again soon.